remember the movie Back to the Future 2? Do you remember how far forward in time he went, Brother Mike? Do you remember? 84. It was 1989 for the second movie. Where? Yes. Marty McFly got in that DeLorean and went forward in time to October 14th, 2015. I remember sitting in that movie theater thinking to myself, in 89, we just got married. Praise the Lord, we watched that movie together and we thought, maybe we will have flying cars in 2020 or hoverboards that don't require wheels or all you got to do is hit your cuff and the sleeves will fit you and your shoes will dry out. Wouldn't that be cool? And we all have a vision of what we think the future's going to be like. But the real truth is, if we don't set our sights on God's will, life goes through our fingers like sand through an hourglass. I know that's a cliche, but it's the best one I could come up with. All right? I know the days of our lives. I know. But the truth is, we all look forward in time thinking 2020. By then, we'd have leaps in innovation and maybe in the spirit, in the church realm, being able to get on the internet, we'd see revival. But instead, we got innovation with the new ways to sin. And things have not gotten better. It's kind of looking more and more like the Roman Empire days than what I thought it would be like. But you know, there's one thing that has not changed in 2020, and that is God still sits on the throne. God is still in charge, and the Word of God is still the best book written. So it doesn't matter whether it was 1960, 1980, 2000, or 2020, the gospel still saves. The Bible said we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It says in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." What's interesting to me was, it was that month, it was October of 1990s when I got saved. You know, and in 89 when I saw the movie, I had all kinds of ideas of what the future would be like. But then when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, my vision started to change. Things started to change. My values started to change. The things that I desired started to change. But one thing I've noticed as I've gotten older, that if I don't have a vision for what God wants, I don't really accomplish anything worth talking about. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, you can think of vision as actual sight, but when it's talking about vision in this, we're talking about faith sight. Seeing things by faith, knowing that God is always good, God's always right, and what He wants is what's going to be the best for us. You know, Rosabeth Cantor said, a vision is not just a picture of what could be. Vision is an appeal to our better selves, a call to become something more. And if you don't have vision, you're really just stuck in what you know. Vision is you picturing how God would have your life to be in 2020. How you'd have your marriage to be, your children to be, your career to be. How would God have you be in 2020? God has a vision for your life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." How long has it been since you realized God actually thinks about you? One of the things I tell the teenagers on Sunday night is, don't worry about what people think of you. They don't think of you. They're too busy thinking of themselves. Do you think that's how God is? No. God thinks about you as an individual. He says, "I have thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expectant end." I think a lot of times in our day-to-day life, we get so busy making a living, we forget to make a life that honors God. You know, God individually crafted you as a person. There's no one like you. In Psalm 139:14, it says, "I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." You know, it's just mind-blowing that the Almighty God of the universe took time to make you the way He wanted you to be. Now, God crafted you for a purpose. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, God created you to do something different than any other person on the planet. Yeah, there's the general will of God. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to get saved, to get baptized, and join a church and serve the Lord and read and pray and all the things. But there is also a specific will for you as an individual. Sometimes we think God misplaced us in Northern Virginia. Or maybe you think God has lost track of you. We got this little GPS thingamajigger that we're supposed to put in Ben's backpack, but I lost the thingamajigger. And I found it the other day when I was digging out the junk drawer. And maybe I should have turned it on and activated and I'd have found it. But we think sometimes God has lost us on his GPS. But that's not true. You were made with a purpose. You were made unique. And God loves you. And in 2020, you have the opportunity to realize that vision for your life. God crafted you for a purpose. He created for you for something different. And I think it's time in 2020, we start to grab God's vision. Rather than just make a living day to day, let's make a life that honors God. So we need to ask God to reveal that vision to us. You know, let God mold you. God, think about what it is you actually get to take to heaven. When you die and go to heaven, you don't even get to take that suit of clothes they buried you in. Hey, baby. You don't? That crazy? Nothing you have goes to heaven except who you become in Jesus Christ. The person you are. So let me ask you a question. How is God molding you and shaping you? Are you letting him? I admit, molding and shaping takes pressure. And if you were looking for a pressure-free life, I'm sorry, there's no such thing on the planet. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Let me tell you something. God wants to make you into something special. He wants to make you into the image of Jesus Christ. This is the year we need to let God do that. We also need to let God grow us, which requires nurturing. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? How do we realize God's vision for 2020? You need to seek God daily. Every single day. You have unique talents that only you can give to the King of Kings. You have unique talents and abilities that only you can offer to God. You have something no one else can give the King of Kings. There's your heart and the abilities he gave you. Nobody else can give them for you. So if we'll seek God daily, if we'll replace an undisciplined life with one of structure, if we'll take off the old influences that would pull us from Christ, you know, pull our focus and add back ones that point us to him. Number four, you have to have a daily resolve to seek God's face. If you'll read that Bible, it'll prove itself to you that it is, in fact, the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. If you'll seek God's face through his word, he will speak to you. And it will, it's kind of funny, you read the Bible, but it reads you. And as you read the Bible, you may make marks and things, but it has a tendency to mark you. And that's the beauty and the wonder of God's living word. Also, you need to pray. Now, you've heard the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. But if you read Jeremiah 29, there's a promise in there of answered prayer like none other. You need to have the resolve to seek God's face every day. You need to have the resolve to be consistent every week. Be consistent in your church attendance. You know, you don't just come to get, you come to give of yourself and encourage others. You know, I love the fact that we've got a noisy child's room. There are churches in this county who'd love to have children mark their walls. Amen. Who'd love to have children stain their carpet. They haven't had children in their church forever. I praise God for the next generation. And if we ever lose sight of the fact that this church is as much their church as it is ours, we've lost the next generation. They need to come here and find Christ. They need to come here and find a home and a family. They need to come here and find love. This needs to be a place where people can mess up and still come and find love and find healing. So be consistent in your church attendance. Be consistent in your tithe. Let me tell you something. You can't outgive God. You just can't. 10% of your growth. That's in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. And it's worship. It's not a show. It's because God's worthy. You also need to have the resolve to be consistent in your witness. You know, we all have bad days. We all have days when you could just chew aluminum foil. You're so mad. You know what I mean? You ever chew an aluminum foil? Yeah. Well, but you get mad enough, you'll do it. And you've had those days. But you got to remember, people are watching your testimony. You need to ask yourself what your testimony's worth every time you go to work. Every time you put effort into a project, you got to ask yourself, what's my testimony worth? I had a family. I was trying to reach for the Lord. And I in El Paso, there's fences around every house. You walk up and you shake that fence to see if the dog comes running. If the dog's out in the yard, you don't go in the fence. Okay? So I shook the fence. Had little Daniel Diaz with me. He is a freshman. We were out soul winning. And I was shaking the fence. No dog came. So he and I walked through the gate, shut the gate behind us, because the last thing I knew was chase the dog down the street. And I walked up the door, knocked on the door. By the time I hit the doorbell, that dog come tearing, this little chihuahua come tearing around the end and bit old Daniel on the back of the calf. And boy, that father come out, and he's mad as a wet hen, just yelling and screaming, why'd you come in? Why'd you have the gate? And I honestly went, why do you got a dog that bites people? And he's like, well, this is my house. And I said, I'm God's man. Just like that. And my preacher, he didn't like that. So anyhow, he said, well, you're going to have to do something because now the dog's going to have to be pounded. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, dude. I shook the fence. I shouted, whatever. So the bill came due. And the man came to the church and he was mad. But it was $40 to house the dog. And I thought to myself, am I going to fight this? It's $40. It's my fault. I should have obeyed the sign. Is my testimony only worth $40? No, it's worth more than that. I'll pay for it. It's no big deal. It is my fault. You know, when you mess up, you got to be the one that says and fess up. You mess up at work, you need to be the first one that goes, man, it's me. I messed up. I'm sorry. I'll make it right. Because your testimony's worth more than your pride. Your testimony's worth more than your comfort. Your testimony for Jesus Christ is worth more than your convenience. And there's been a bunch of times when, frankly, I've just been wrong. And when you're in the wrong, you don't have a defense. What's your testimony worth? See, when you look at your life, maybe you look at your life through a day timer, or maybe you look at your life through an app on your phone. But if we would step back a minute and look at your life through the eyes of Jesus Christ, what would he see? Would he see a resolve, a commitment that's unshakable, or a pride that just blocks out the testimony of Christ? See, you and I only have a certain number of days on this planet. And while we're here, it's imperative we don't just make a living. We live a life that honors God. That's got to be our vision for 2020. It's that daily walk, that daily testimony that God will bless. So what is your vision? Where do you want to be in a year with your marriage, with your kids, with your career, with your commitment to God, with your service to God, with your testimony for God? It's not going to happen just by happenstance. It's going to be intentional because we sought God. If you died tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you died right now, if you don't make it, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you died tonight, would you wake up in glory? See, the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world might be saved. If you could put your name in there, God did not condemn, didn't send his son to condemn you, but that through him, you would be saved. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on a cross and he took my place because all of my sin was placed on him. And now because I've trusted him as my Savior, I called upon him and turned from my sin. He placed all his righteousness on me. And now I am a child of God. I remember October 9th, 1990. I remember calling upon Christ. Do you? Can you remember when you called upon him? Now, I know the testimony of many of you in this room. You know the Lord is your Savior. But if you were to review your life over the past 12 months, you obviously made a living. But did you make a life that honors God? And you know, there's days when we do well and there's days when we stumble. But it's not about the stumbles. It's about getting back up, fessing up to it, and walking again. 2020 can be the year where you have the biggest spiritual breakthrough of your life. This could be the year we have revival. This is the year. This could be the year your loved one trusts Christ and is saved. This could be the year. But it's not going to happen just out of happenstance. It's going to happen if you and I get serious about our walk with God. If we're real. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we know that only dead fish float. Father, we know that you've got to work through us, for there is no good in us other than you. But Father, we know that you love us, and you've made promises to us. And Father, we want to realize those promises. So we ask God every day you would empower us to walk with you, because we just can't do it on our own. But Father, I also ask if there's one among us that's lost, that has never received the Lord as their Savior, and Father, tonight can't pillow their head with peace knowing they're going to wake up in heaven. I ask God you'd convict them of their sin and convince them of their need of a Savior. And Father, may they call upon you and be forgiven forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Brother Steve...